Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, Kingdom citizens. It's another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad you decided to join us this evening. We are so excited about our guest that's going to be coming on with us shortly. But before we do, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We honor you for this beautiful day you have allowed us to be a part of. Lord God, we ask you to be in the midst of this interview. We ask you to be with our guests. We ask you to be with those that are listening. God, we ask you for clarity. God, we ask you for hearts that will be able to receive what this wonderful woman is going to come and speak to us about through the Open Door USA initiative that's going on all over the world. So God, we thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Kingdom citizens, I am just so excited about our guest that's coming on today. Her name is Emily Fuentes. She is the Director of Communications at Open Doors USA. Emily Fuentes is the Communication Director, and she has worked to bring the voices of the religious persecuted to the attention of Americans. Through her work with Open Doors, she has visited and gained on-the-ground experience in China, Colombia, Nigeria, and Turkey. She has a Bachelor's of Arts degree in communication from Vanguard University of Southern California and a Master of Science in Higher Education Leadership from Northwest Missouri State University, and she lives and works in Santa Ana, California. The organization is called Open Doors, and for nearly 60 years, they have worked in the world's most oppressed countries, empowering Christians who are persecuted for their beliefs. Wow. That is a phenomenal mission that God has given this wonderful organization. So without further ado, I want to bring Emily on the line. Emily, are you on with us tonight?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. I actually was on the website last night because I like to get a lot of information about our guests and about, you know, what God has, you know, given them as far as their mandate, you know, and on the earth. And I was just blown away by this organization. I had never heard of it before. And it just, you know, pulled on my heartstrings because we hear about persecution all the time, but to see some of the countries that you guys have gone into and are working tirelessly, it really touches my heart. So kind of give our listening audience a little bit of background about Open Doors USA.
Sure. Well, our organization actually started in 1955 with a man named Brother Andrew. Some people are familiar with the name. He wrote the book God Smuggler, and it was his autobiography on what he had done. He heard about the church starting to face persecution in Eastern Europe when the Soviet Union was forming, and decided to take a trip into Poland to see what it was all about. What he saw amazed him. There were entire church congregations that had been forced to close down and meet in secret or meet underground. And these entire churches had their Bibles banned, so many didn't have their own Bibles. So he knew it was God's calling on his life to smuggle Bibles, to smuggle God's word to these persecuted believers. 60 years later, our organization continues to deliver Bibles, but we also work with the local church in over 60 countries to find out how persecution is materializing and really to help the church, whatever their needs might be. Sometimes that's refugee care. Sometimes that's trauma counseling. Sometimes it's rebuilding churches, and sometimes it's delivering God's word.
Wow. That is just fantastic. Now, how did you hear about the organization, or how did you get involved?
You know, I had a friend at my father's church here that I was going to my undergraduate school, Vanguard, when I was 18, and told me about this wonderful organization that I should volunteer at that was about 10 minutes away from the school. And when I heard about the mission, I decided I had to get involved. So I actually started as a volunteer here, and 11 years later, I have been here ever since.
Wow, that is fantastic. Now, have you had the opportunity to visit, you know, some of the countries that you guys assist?
Yes, actually several. I've been to Colombia, Nigeria, Turkey, Iraq, China, and in Central Asia recently.
Wow. Now, when you go over and kind of, you know, I've done some mission work myself. I've gone to Africa twice, and I've been to South America. Nothing quite as extensive as what you're doing. We actually go take shoes, and we wash feet, and we minister to the children. But when you go over to these countries, do you take groups with you, or when you go, are you going to assist churches or organizations already over there that, you know, need the help? Kind of talk about how, you know, you go over and based on what the needs are.
Yeah, so it does vary from country to country, but usually the Open Door staff, we really just travel for short-term trips because we rely on the church on the ground to be doing the long-term work. We know that they know the culture, the people, and can best reach out not only to persecuted Christians, but even their persecutors with the love of Christ. We're there just to get an understanding of the current need, what their needs are, and then bring that back to share the stories with American Christians so they can stand with them in prayer and support to fund some of the things they need. Like I was saying earlier, you know, it does vary from country to country. So when I went to Nigeria, for example, we got the deeper understanding of their need for trauma counseling. In Nigeria, an average of 5 churches are attacked every single Sunday. And so that's a lot of people dealing with a humongous trauma and didn't quite know how to deal with that. And so Open Doors was able to start a stronger trauma counseling program within that country several years ago.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, if I've got some listeners that are interested in having their church to get involved, kind of tell us what the process would be for that.
Absolutely. Well, there's a few different ways that you can get involved. First and foremost is prayer. You can go to our website, opendoorsusa.org, and sign up for weekly prayer alerts from persecuted Christians. It's a great way to just have your church be praying for believers in their most current prayer needs, and you can get those emailed to you every week. The second is we have a lot of ways that Christians here can advocate, be a voice for the voiceless, for persecuted Christians. We have petitions that they can sign asking government officials to act on behalf of persecuted Christians, letters of encouragement that you can write to these persecuted believers as well. And then finally, we have different projects like some of the ones I listed, whether it's trauma counseling or Bible delivery or where the need is greatest, that churches have and can get involved in funding.
Wow, that's great. What do you see the biggest issue as far as the education piece for Americans. And the reason why I'm leading to that because I'm part of a very diverse church, and we are mission-based. And about last month, we had a gentleman from Syria who was a Muslim, now a Christian, who came over and talked about just that whole process of, and gave his testimony of how he, you know, of course, was part of the persecutor of Christians in his country, and now that he's saved, he is an advocate for, you know, believers and those that are, you know, trying to make that transition from Muslim or Islam to Christianity. And he talked about the persecution just personally within his own, with his family. How do you, and he, one of the things that he said was, we as Americans, we, some of us, you know, grow up as Christians, are knowing about the Christian faith, and we take it for granted. But when you're in another country, when you are going against what the norm is, and all of a sudden you come against this immediate attack, he said that we are spoiled in certain ways because we grow up with it, and it's just common for us, and we take it for granted. Do you hear a lot of that from other countries that talk about, you know, how they're persecuted and what they go through versus, you know, how it is over here in America?
You know, the story you just shared really reminds me of a powerful story from a believer in China who was speaking with us and shared his story of persecution from the government several years ago. And an Open Doors staff member said, you know, I can't imagine all that you're going through with this persecution. You're in our prayers and you'll be we'll be praying for you. And then the believer from China looked at the staff member and said, no, you're the one who's in my prayers. You are dealing with materialism and all sorts of things that distract you from a real faith with Jesus Christ in America. But persecution refines us. Persecution makes our faith bolder. And that is just a stark reminder to me of what not only we take for granted, as you were saying, just our Christian faith and the freedom to practice here, but really the deeper understanding of how materialism can affect our faith and how these believers, we can learn so much from them and how they're standing strong in their faith that can help us grow in our own faith in turn. It's really a perfect example of iron sharpening iron, I think. We just glean lessons of amazing faith from persecuted believers while we in our freedoms can be a voice for them and a resource for them and prayer warriors for them.
Wow, fantastic. I love it. I love it. Now, one of the questions that one of the things I was going to ask you to kind of share with our listening audience tonight is some of the statistics of persecutions, and I know that could be maybe based on everybody, every country may be different, but can you give us some of the stats on, you know, persecutions and what you guys, you know, have come across and what you know, on a, that you deal with on a daily basis?
Sure. So one thing to note here is the past 2 years have been an unprecedented amount of persecution compared to any other year in the modern era. We've just seen persecution get worse, first in the year 2014, and then 2015 ended up being even worse than that. Open Doors releases a world watch list every January, which ranks the top 50 countries where Christians face the most persecution. And the past 2 years, it's become increasingly difficult to land on that list just because the other countries are facing that severe persecution. The number one country on that list is North Korea, which in that country, the very act of owning a Bible is punishable by death. If your faith is discovered, you'll either be sent to a prison camp similar to those of World War II and Auschwitz in Germany, or you will be executed for your faith. It's been the worst country on the world watch list for 14 years, but it's getting worse in other countries too, like Iraq and Syria, with ISIS infiltrating and specifically targeting Christians. Complete Christian historical villages have been destroyed. Christians have been driven out of most parts of Iraq. Or in Nigeria, as I mentioned earlier, we've seen a huge increase in violence against Christians and attacks. And in last year, there's been a 62% increase in deaths of Christians in northern Nigeria just because Boko Haram, the Islamic extremist group, is targeting them specifically. So we've seen it's been a much significant increase of persecution in all of these countries. Those are just a few examples. And we're seeing that it's easier to increase in this list, but more difficult for new countries to get on just because it's that significant of persecution in these top 50 countries.
Wow. Well, I mean, when you talk about that, it's, like I said, it's really mind-blowing, and I know our listening audience probably can say the same thing because, again, we have the freedom, to profess our faith, and then to be up against that what you can't, it's just really unimaginable, to think that. But we just so appreciate, what you guys are doing. What are some of the things that do you do annual, or do you do how do you get the word out? And I guess that's the question I'm looking for. How do people find out about your organization? Is it through word of mouth? Do you go around and are you asked to come to speak? Because we're going to do our part definitely now that we know about you, but how do you normally get the word out about your organization?
Definitely. Well, we work. Our main goal is to have every Christian in the U.S. know and be a voice for persecuted believers around the world. We estimate that there's more than 100 million Christians who suffer for their faith, and closer to a couple hundred million. Yet there's 180 million professed Christians in the United States. Wouldn't it be amazing if each of these professed Christians was speaking on behalf of persecuted believers? So Open Doors really strives to provide resources where we can have believers in the U.S. Do grassroots campaigns and be a voice within their communities, congregants to speak to their pastors about this and insert some of the bulletin inserts we have available on our website so churches could be praying weekly for the needs of persecuted believers, or to be part of our International Day of Prayer every November for the persecuted church, where we provide resources on our website for churches to use to dedicate an entire service to praying for persecuted believers. We use social media and have lots of videos and photos and stories and blogs about the latest needs of persecuted believers, and ask that people share that on their platforms of social media as well. But we are really trying to equip the American church to use their voice in their communities, no matter how small or large their community is. It can have an amazing ripple effect. If you and I share with our entire audience on social media or our entire church what's happening, it can have a ripple effect for other congregants to do it to their specific communities. And so that's really how we strive to get the word out, by providing resources on our website and social media, and then ask the church to be a voice for their brothers and sisters abroad.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, do you ever do any traveling to various churches to speak, or do you have someone, in your organization that specifically goes out and talks to churches that request, for them to come in?
For certain cases we do, but we do and have seen it be more effective when it's coming from a congregant within a church. Pastors are typically a lot more likely to hear from someone who attends the church and see how passionate it's made them with the story of the persecuted. So we're really striving to equip each church to be the voice because they know their churches best, they know their communities best, and want to equip them with all the resources they need to do that.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic. Like I said, you know, now that, you know, we know about your organization, we definitely will be spreading the word again. You know, our church is very mission-based. And then about 3 weeks ago, we had a young man that is a MMA fighter, and he now has dedicated his life to the Congo community, the pygmy community in the Congo, and helping them to get their freedom from, because they are, a lot of them are enslaved. So now they are, he and is working with a group, and they are going over and building and doing wells and helping to get freedom for a lot of the pygmy communities over there. So we're just going to add you guys to the list.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Help get the word out, because, again, do you see a lot more persecution now coming over in the United States? I know you guys do a lot of international, but what are you seeing that's happening in the United States?
You know, we always say it's very important to monitor every country, and we do, in fact, monitor every country for persecution when we do our annual World Watch List. And an example I often give is the country of Mali. Several years ago, it was a country where there was absolutely no persecution, but all of a sudden, just a few years ago, Islamic extremists infiltrated from the north and took over two-thirds of the country, and it rose to number 7 on our World Watch List. So we know that anything can happen in an instance. But as I was saying before, there is such severe persecution throughout the world and in other countries where people are beaten to death, where they face life imprisonment for their faith or attacks on their church, that countries like the United States or some of other Western countries aren't nearly close to making the list, just because it's so bad in these top 50 countries, and then there's about 20 underneath it where they're just on the cusp of getting on the list and would be on the list maybe 5 years ago, but persecution's gotten so bad in the other 50 countries it's prevented them from being there. So it's just kind of just how severe persecution is in these other countries that makes it that notable.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. Well, Emily, I'm just, my heart is full because now that I know about you guys, of course, you know, the scripture says that, you know, that our heart should break for the things that break God's heart. And so I think a lot of times we as Americans, we do take our faith for granted. And we get so numb to what's going on. And I know you've heard about the shooting down in Florida this past, you know, weekend, and, you know, how this young man supposedly had pledged his allegiance to ISIS and has gone in and, you know, shot all these people up in this club. So I think the more, like you said, the more we begin to show that there's things here in the United States that we should not be so desensitized to, remember that there are others that are really dying for their faith and for their belief. And almost, do you see it like a martyr? Do you guys sometimes see that those situations?
Where people die for their faith?
Yeah, I mean, they're martyred, you know, know, they're saying that, you know, that's what a lot of the Muslims do. In 9/11, they said that they would die, you know, for Allah. But I think, do you believe that a lot of these people have, you know, because they have died for their Christian faith and their belief and their love of Jesus Christ, that they've been martyred?
Oh, yes. We believe that in the 3,000 plus figure of people who have been killed for their faith and martyred for their faith. And so we're seeing that grow even more year over year. So, yes, there's a great deal of people who have been martyred and died for their faith.
Oh, fantastic. Well, listening audience, I just pray that you guys will definitely go to the site. Emily, let them know, tell them the website again.
Sure, it's opendoorsusa.org.
And you guys, please go out there. I went out there last night again. Just, you know, I'm always, you know, interested to see, you know, to see what my guests and what they're involved in and what they're doing. And the reason why we bring them on the show to bring exposure to what they're doing. And I was just blown away by the wonderful, great things that your organization is doing and how we are definitely going to help get the word out for you. Emily, I always ask my guests to close our show out with a word of prayer. I would be so honored if you do that for us tonight.
Oh, wonderful. I'd be happy to. Well, Lord, we just come before you and thank you for this platform to share the message of your persecuted church, Lord. We do pray for an amazing ripple effect, God, that every listener here would be able to share with each of their communities the message of the persecuted church and get those members in their communities to share it with others so that there would be great ripple effect that every Christian one day in the United States would be an advocate and speaking on behalf of those who are persecuted for their faith worldwide. We just pray that you'd guide each of the listeners in the best way that they can get involved in strengthening the persecuted church and guide them and lead them and their communities on the best way to do this. We thank you for this program and we thank you for all the different platforms you allow to get your message out, Lord, and do pray a blessing on them. Thank you again for how you're using Christians around the world to unite and strengthen your body, the body of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Emily, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on and to educate us and to give us more information about Open Doors USA. And we definitely will be putting out on our Facebook page more information. We'll be giving them the link to your website and also to all of your social media pages as well. So we pray definitely an increase in support and participation as well.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for using your platform to spread this message. Greatly appreciate it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Kingdom Citizens, we are closing out the show tonight. We thank you for taking the time to listen. And as we always say, let's talk. Good night, everybody. Good night, Emily.
Good night.